In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are continuing with volume 19, May 10th, 1926. And this is about the divine will and life, this divine life that our God is asking us to enter into. It's the prayer that the priest says every day at Holy Mass, where the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This divine life is how we're supposed to be living. Adam, when he was created, was in God's image and likeness. So in volume 19, May 10th, 1926, Louisa says, oh, how much more enchanting and beautiful is the rising, this is Jesus, the rising of the Son of my divine will over humanity, over each person. How more enchanting, more beautiful is the rising of the Son of my divine will. And when you read the book that the Vatican published on Louisa, it's called The Son of My Divine Will. And that's Louisa. How much more enchanting and beautiful is the soul living in the divine will? This rising of the sun, this new day, this dawn of a mystery. How beautiful this is, Jesus is saying. And you know, we think of the things that we see in the world today. You know, there's beautiful things, but Jesus says the divine life in the soul is more beautiful than anything else. By pounding on her, this light, it transforms the soul. It gives the soul different colors of beauty of her creator by investing the soul and molding the soul. It says, so here we see Jesus explaining, you know, when the sun, you know, shines on us, this warmth that we feel, this heat, that he says, this light is more than that. It transforms the soul, giving the soul different colors of beauty of the creator, of God. So what we're seeing now is it's like a technicolor from black and white into technicolor. These different colors that the saints did not know about. Why didn't the saints know about it is because they didn't have Louisa. Jesus explains to Louisa the why and the how the kingdom is coming. And this brings, it's like a painting, from a black and white painting to a colorful painting. By investing the soul, molding the soul, penetrating into the soul, gives the soul sips of divine life. So here, this investing, molding, and penetrating brings this life to light. It brings this life, it becomes alive. And the soul may grow and produce the effects of the goods, which the life of her creator contains. So these effects happen. Now, this is why, you know, when we go to Holy Mass, when we receive Holy Communion each day, hopefully what happens at that point is this life of Jesus comes alive. I mean, it's the true life of Jesus in a mystical way until the host dissolves. So the effects of the Holy Eucharist are, you know, this oneness with God, this fusion with God, this life of God is there basically for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And this is why Holy Mass ends. Holy Mass ends right after receiving Holy Communion. You know, you have the final prayer, the final blessing, and that's it. Because God wants to be in communion with his creature. God wants to be in communion with his child. And this communion is everything. And at that time, it's not a time for fellowship. It's a time for being in communion with God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him, truly falling deeper and deeper in love with God every time you receive Holy Communion. But the effects of the communion in the divine will, and this is what Jesus is getting us ready for, this perennial communion, it's like the perennial communion that Adam had before the fall. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. It wasn't just for 15 minutes. It was a oneness with God, a communion with God. So the effects of this communion that's coming, that Jesus is getting us ready for, that the soul may grow and produce the effects of the goods which the life of her God contains. Going back to where Adam was before the fall, to be in God's image and likeness. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with this great gift of the divine will, we enter into the likeness of God. As Jesus says, God wants us to look like him. And sin destroys that. So he says he's going to bring us to this point where there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's where we're supposed to be living. And that's coming. That this is the gift that God wants to give to all the world. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this second Pentecost that's coming, our God is saying, get ready for it. Get ready for it. Learn how to embrace this life of that their God contains, as much as you want or as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold, Jesus says. So Jesus said, what would happen to the earth without the sun? Much more ugly and frightening would the soul be without my most holy divine will, Jesus says. If there was no sun, there would be no life. It's complete darkness. There's nothing would be growing. Nothing would be alive. Everything would be dead. And Jesus says, the soul without my divine will is more ugly, more frightening than the earth being without the sun. And even Padre Pio said, it'd be easier for the earth not to have the sun for a day than without having the Eucharist. The Eucharist is everything. Jesus came to give himself as our food. And as we nourish ourselves on the Holy Eucharist each day, if we wish, as we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, of falling in love with our triune God, falling in love with our Savior, our King, our Master Jesus, our Lord, our God, when we look at him, when we see him in the Holy Eucharist, he says that it'd be easier to be able to live without the Son than to live without Jesus, without the Eucharist. How the soul decays from her origin. So, you know, this is very, very important. God is bringing us back to where we were before the fall. And that great day hasn't happened. It's happened with Louisa. Louisa's the firstborn. Louisa's the newborn. And God is trying to get us ready to receive this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. And he's asking us to read, to study, to put this into practice, to get ready for what he's going to do. The how and the why the kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven is found in the book of heaven. And when we're not filled with this color, these colors, these divine colors, this divine life that God wants to nourish with us with every single day, becoming more and more like him, he says the humanity decays more from our origin. We have to get back to where we were. We have to get back to live this life of paradise on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus shows us this by the decaying from our origin is the nightmare of passions, the nightmare of vices, more than darkness, Jesus says. This nightmare of passions, this nightmare of vices makes the soul die, prepares the tomb in which to bury the soul. So here he's being very clear that he wants to free us. Jesus died on the cross. He's taken our slavery to the devil away from us. But we still fall into sin. We still go to confession each week. And this nightmare of the passions, the nightmare of vices, more than darkness makes her die. And Jesus says, prepares the tomb in which to bury the soul. So God is saying to us, I want to free you, even though I have redeemed you. Now I want to sanctify you. I want to free you from this fallen nature to begin to live that original nature, being in God's image and likeness back to mankind. So through the Holy Church, through the sacraments and sacramentals, we have the medicine to heal us, to draw us closer to Jesus. And now Jesus says, now it's the time. Now is the time for the new era to begin. That's why when Our Lady appeared to Bruno, and if you haven't read Our Lady of Revelation, if you haven't listened to this or read it, you begin to see that Our Lady said to Bruno, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong and enjoy the beatific vision. That's what we're supposed to be. Heaven is being in awe of God for all eternity. How beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving. And all that Jesus is asking is, what do you want? Do you want to continue? You have been redeemed, but do you want to continue to live in your human misery, your fallen nature? Or do you want to enter into the most holy divine will? Do you want to continue to do your human will? Where, again, what is the human will? It's the nightmare of passions, the nightmare of vices. It's the darkness that makes the soul die and prepares the tomb. That's where the human will leads us. Why do we go to confession? Because of our human will. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought, I said, I did, I failed to do, and I don't want to live like this. God goes, good, keep on working, keep on coming closer and closer to this new and abundant life of living in the divine will, the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that I've given to Louisa. And so he's leading us, guiding us, directing us every day. If you're reading the Book of Heaven every day, it's more unbelievably exciting to listen to Jesus teach us. It's a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II says we're going to enter into. This new and divine way of holiness, we're just at the beginning. We're just at the beginning. And when you want the divine will, Jesus says, I am conceived in your heart. Your heart becomes my throne. This is the conception. And then he says, every act that you do, when you pray your rounds every day, the more that you pray your rounds and do your acts in the divine will, it's one more molecule that you're adding to this conception of Jesus in our hearts. And it takes time to learn this, to study this, to put this into practice. I have one friend of mine, he always is calling and saying, I found out what the divine will is. It's this, you know, and it's always, what volume did you read it in? In volume 6. Well, that's how to enter into the divine will by becoming a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through 19, how to enter into the divine will by living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Now, some people have said to me, I just want to get to the good part, entering and receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. I want to read just the higher volumes. I don't need the lower volumes. And it's no, you, everything is built on becoming a divine mirror of Jesus. This is how you begin to live in the divine will. And if you haven't become a saint, how can you think that you're going to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, and if you haven't become a saint and strove to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, how do you think that you're ever going to get to embracing the divine inheritance of the Father? It's a beautiful gift that God has given to humanity, but in all situations, it's the way you learn it and study it and put it into practice. I mean, we grew up on the Baltimore Catechism, and it was every day, and you know, in school, it, you know, the nuns would teach us the catechism, the Baltimore Catechism, and it became a routine. This is what it is. What, you know, who is God? You know, it's starting from there, and then learning, you know, after what, 12 years, learning the basics of our Catholic faith. What happened at that time was, as the saints, a lot of saints have said, what's happened after that is in the mid 20th century, everything started to fall apart. You know, the churches were filled in the 50s. I remember being an altar boy and five masses on Sunday, three priests in almost every parish. We had 12 sisters who was teaching at the school in a small little town. The church was flourishing. And now we have two priests taking care of seven parishes, and the sisters have all disappeared. The schools have all closed. What has happened? You know, if we don't understand that Catholicism is ridiculed more than any other religion, it's despised, it's laughed at, it's ridiculed. What they say, 300 Catholic churches in the States have been destroyed over the past few years, burnt down, destroyed. Jesus knew this was coming. So what he's done is he saved the best for last. He's given us the book of heaven. So you have the book of life in heaven where our life is written. And Jesus says to Louisa, I want each of my children to become my divine masterpiece. What I have planned, Jesus says, from the beginning of time for each soul, I want them to be my divine masterpiece. We're very far from that. So what has he done? How does he combat this, if you want to say this, bloodletting that's just happening all around us? And Jesus says, I'm going to give to those souls at that time the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. So he says to Louisa, you have seen that the light of the sun can do good insofar as the plants, the flowers and other things that let themselves be touched and invested by the light of the sun, remaining with their mouths open in order to receive the sips of life, which the sun in the sky gives to them. So here, Jesus is showing us that like little birds who've just hatched with their mouths wide open, wanting to be filled, receive this life that God has given to the world, even with the sun in the sky. He says that I'm looking for those souls who can keep their mouths open. You know, he says that to Louisa a couple of times. He says, it's so sad. He says, I want to feed my children, but they refuse to open their mouths. They refuse to be filled with this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. He says, so it is with my holy divine will. My holy divine will can do so much good. It can infuse so much beauty and divine life for as much as the soul lets herself be touched, invested, and molded by the hands of the light, the sun of my divine will, S-U-N of my divine will. How much good God can do to the souls who read the book of heaven. It's the only thing that's going to get us through. For example, you know, with the internet, every heresy that's ever affected the church, that's been basically conquered by a saint in the church at that time, is now hammering the church again. Since there's really been no teaching, you know, the catechism basically being thrown out, the Baltimore Catechism, there's no teaching. There's nothing there that the people can hang on to. What we had, one of the things that's so great is we had a priest in our diocese who prayed the rosary on the radio, you know, in the 50s and 60s. Father Chericcioni, yes, that's who it was. Every night we prayed the rosary as a family. And I know everyone in my family, you know, when we were in high school and college, graduate school, what happened was we had the rosary to fall back on, you know, in all the craziness, all the worldliness that the world was going through. The church was, you know, hammered at that point. We fell back on the rosary. And I could say that teaching that we had as children benefited us so much. So Jesus is now saying, I want to give you more. What's coming against the church is more than anything that's ever been seen before. It's all the heresies attacking the church all at once. There's really nothing that can prevent the attack. The attack has to happen. This battle we have to go through. But Jesus has predestined us to live at this time, to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this gift of the divine will, to get us through what's coming. All the strength, all the holiness, all the martyrdoms of the saints isn't enough to get us through what's coming. It's not enough because it's every single heresy. And you're going to see how bad it's going to get. When we say it's going to be a bumpy ride, to be faithful Catholic, to be a faithful Catholic is going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. So what Jesus has done is he's given us the Son of my divine will, Louisa Picaretta, the S-U-N of my divine will. This gift that God breathed into Louisa, Jesus and Mary breathed this into Louisa, the Holy Spirit that gave this gift so that Louisa can begin to live in the divine will. this gift that God gave to Louisa, where she received, again, the divine inheritance of the Father, is the only thing that's going to get us through this. When you see what's going to hit the church, like it says, scripture says, if it doesn't get through quickly, it will even deceive the elect of what's coming. To be faithful and obedient Catholic is what Adam wasn't. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient to this universal life that God breathed into him. So when Jesus and Mary come to earth, what do? They start the universal life again, the Catholic life again, and breathes this into society. And at the middle of the 20th century, everything started to collapse. Why? It's the final battle, if you want to say. It's the final struggle where God is going to win. And he needs us to be part, he says this to Louisa, be part of his divine will army. He says to get ready for this battle, to have more faith than Joan of Arc. Well, where Joan of Arc basically said, you know, I'm not afraid. I was born for this time. And then she says, God is with me. God is with me. When you read the book of heaven, it's the same thing. Jesus is saying, look at the sun. Look what it does for the earth. More than that, look what I am going to do with the earth, with humanity, because of this great gift of the divine will. The soul gives herself prey to its light. God, this prey is God. God consumes the soul in his love. It's not a negative thing. So the soul abandons herself completely in this light, this light of the divine will. And he says, my supreme will shall perform the greatest prodigy of creation. The greatest, he saved the best for last. The greatest prodigy of creation, the divine life back again in the life, the soul of the creature. To be where we were before the fall, to return to the womb of the Father. If you haven't listened to the whole document on returning to the womb of the Father, you will be astonished what Jesus has planned for his children. Everything is found really in the book of heaven. If you're reading the book of heaven, you will have the strength to face what we're going to face. If you're not reading the book of heaven, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough to be faithful and obedient, because God has to give to the devil what he wants. He gave the devil hell because that's what the devil wanted. The devil wants this final battle. God says, okay, you know, you're not going to win. I mean, foolishness to think that you can destroy God, beat God. I mean, what God is bringing is this final battle, and he has asked us to be alive at this time. Not defenseless, but the supreme will shall perform the greatest prodigy of creation, the divine life again in humanity. In what Adam lived, Adam was in God's image and likeness. What was the DNA of Adam like? That's what came out of the dust, was the image and likeness of God. What God is going to give to us, and he's given it to us in the church, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will, we should be rejoicing that there is no way that God can lose. And he's asked us to be on his side. We're not afraid. We were born for this time, and God is with us in a way that the saints did not have. Why? They only learned how to do the will of God. What Jesus taught Louise is how to live in the will of God and to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. It's the greatest prodigy of creation. So Jesus says, oh, if the sun could form with the reflection of its light as many other suns on each plant, in the oceans and the mountains and the valleys, he said, what more beautiful enchantment? What beauty more radiant, more beautiful enchantment? How many more prodigies would there not be in the order of nature? So here Jesus says, If the sun could produce more suns, how much more light, how much more life, how much more love would there be in all of creation? How much more beautiful it would be? Jesus teaches Louisa that every act that we do in the divine will, every round that we do in the divine will is another sun, S-U-N, of the divine will. That's ours. And it magnifies the life of God in us. the little that we have is magnified. And then every time we do an act, every time we do a round, it becomes more intense, more beautiful, more flowering, more, what do you want to say, colorful. This is what's coming. And it's already begun, but the fullness isn't here yet. That day is coming. You know, you hear, you know, there's the warning and the miracle, the 3 days of darkness. You hear of the this greatness, this great understanding that's coming to humanity to see and to return back to where Adam was before the fall is offered to us. And what we have to decide is which army are we in? And that's why the fastest growing religion is Satanism. God is saying, what do you want? And the evil one offers power, you know, offers money, offers fame and fortune for anybody who surrenders their soul to him. And people are going, great, let's do it. Our job is to be so one with God that he can fill us with his divine life, so surrendered to God that he gives us this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this gift of living in the divine will. And it's given to all of humanity, but Jesus needs us to cooperate. How do we cooperate? Jesus teaches Louisa, be attentive, be attentive. That says to me, listen to what I am teaching to you, Jesus says. You know, read and study again what I've just given to you, Jesus says. Read it and study it, put it into practice. Begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. It's a new and divine way of holiness that God is offering to all of humanity. And there are few at this point who want it. As Jesus said, the divine will is for all of humanity. He says, but in reality, it's for only the souls who want the divine will. How do we prove to God that we want the divine will? It's by reading and studying and putting into practice the 36 volumes. Each day, we really sit and listen to Jesus teach us the catechism that's not being taught anymore. Each day, Jesus teaches us the dogma and doctrine of the Catholic Church that's hidden. We don't know anything about it anymore. So he, in these final days, and it's not the end, it's the final days of the era that's we've been living in for 6,000 years. The new era, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem is coming. So what has he done? What he's done for humanity is given us the book of heaven, where as you read, you begin to understand this universal life, this Catholic life. You begin to want this universal life, this Catholic life. You begin to desire to read and study and put into practice. What more do I need to do? What more do you want to give to me, Jesus? And Jesus says, take as much as you want. A few times in Jesus says to Louisa, go into the storeroom and grab all the jewels, all the gold, all the silver, and take out as much as you can of the divine will. And Louisa goes in and she says, I'm so tiny, I can't take hardly anything. Jesus says, I know that. Come back for more. Always come back for more. And that's reading the book of heaven to me. As you read this, things that you never would have considered precious, never even considered the beauty of what God has given to humanity is found in the book of heaven. And you want to go back and fill yourself up every day. And that's why the calendar is so important. I know sometimes it's long. Sometimes it's so many other things that you have to do. But it's Jesus says, be attentive to what I'm teaching you. Be attentive to what I'm showing you. Be attentive to this universal life, this Catholic life. Be attentive to this new and divine way of holiness that I want to give to you. And when we say, okay, he goes, now you got to prove it. It's not just, yes, I want to live in the divine will. That's just the beginning. It's now study, reading, studying, and putting this into practice. And knowing that we're nobodies, we're nothings. God is, what the divine will does is it focuses a spotlight on God, where we can see him as we've never seen God before. He gives us an understanding that helps us to be happy amid amid all that's happening in the world, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, God is saying to us, come back to me, come back. And he says, I will fill you as much as you want. So that's with your mouth open, like a bird, like a baby bird. Feed me, feed me. God goes, you don't know how much I want to feed you. You know, he's, I want to fill you with this life, this light, this love of God, which is the divine will. See, he saved the best for last. And as Cana, you know, it was 150 gallons of wine he made. 150 gallons. When I first made wine, that's just how much I made. I made 150 gallons. That's a lot of wine. But Jesus wants us to celebrate this marriage, this wedding feast of heaven on earth as it is heaven. That doesn't mean you get drunk, but remember when Peter went out on Pentecost and 3,000 people heard him speaking in their language. They said, are these guys drunk? It's 9 a.m. Are these guys drunk? Filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with such joy, such peace, such happiness that nothing can bother you. As a matter of fact, it's always, yes, I want this more than anything. Yes, I want to live this more than anything. I want to possess this more than anything. Jesus says, will you give up everything for the divine will? He says, what does that mean? Everything that is human has to be put away to embrace the divine. He says, you are like a glass that's half filled. Empty it out, all that is human, to fill it with what is divine. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. Jesus is saying to us, I want to share with you my divinity. I want you to possess my life, the new Adam, and my mother's life, the new Eve, which I gave to Louisa. And he says, but I'm not going to mix it with fallen nature. I'm not going to mix it with the misery of the human will. He says, let that go and embrace living in the divine will. And we say, well, how can I do this? When Jesus said to the apostles, you must be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect, the apostles go, I don't know how to become perfect. We say the same thing. What do we need to do? How do we begin to live this life that you, Lord, want us to live? What do I need to do to embrace this life? And God says, read, be attentive, study, be attentive. And that's why he's saying to us, basically, remain with your mouths open. Let me fill you. Go into the storeroom and get as much as you want that I can give to you. He says, when it's all gone, come back. He says, this is our God. I want you to share in my divinity. That's not the fallen human nature. And all that the world can offer, all the devil can offer, is the things in the fallen world. You have to understand where the fallen world is going to be consumed in fire. It's going to be gone. The love of God is coming to the earth. The love of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire is going to consume the world. So Jesus says, what is more beautiful? What is more radiant? What is more prodigious? Would there not be in the order of nature if you could produce these many sons? And he says, this is what my divine will does. Every act that you do is another son that gives light and life and love to the soul. It says, my will does to the soul who lives in it. This is what the sun does not do. And who remains with their mouth open like a little flower in order to receive the sips of light, which my divine will gives to the soul to form the life of the divine sun within the soul. See, this is not human. This is divine. God is calling us to be like him, image and likeness. And so we have been following or living the life of fallen Adam. Even 2,000 years ago, when Jesus redeemed humanity, we still sin. We still haven't gone back to the womb of the Father. We still haven't gone back to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. So Jesus is saying, can you imagine what my son, S-U-N of the divine will can do within your soul? Can you imagine what I have planned for my children? It's not to be separated from God. It's not God 1,000,000,000 miles away where you beg, God, 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 please, please, please. It's Jesus is with you. The conception of Jesus is in your heart. Jesus is the king of your soul, your heart, your mind, your soul, your intellect, memory, and will, the three powers. Jesus begins to teach us, guide us, lead us to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary that was given to Louisa. He says very clearly, be attentive. And again, be attentive to me is read. Listen to what I'm going to teach you. Listen to the lessons that I'm going to give you, Jesus says. Listen to the knowledges, the truths, the promises that I'm going to offer to you. And they're yours if you want them. This is why to become a saint is a very difficult thing, because he leaves it up to us doing the will of God. And a lot of times when we're selfish, self-centered, egotistical, God is secondary. But Jesus says, in the divine will, I'm going to do this for you. He says to Louisa, get out of my way. Let me accomplish what I've planned from the beginning of time. And this is the beauty of the book of heaven. It's Jesus teaching us every day. And I can guarantee you, if you really read it to hear with your heart, Jesus's teachings, Jesus's lessons, Jesus's promises, your life can never be dull. It's always filled with this peace, joy, and happiness of beginning to live this abundant life, the beginning to live this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II promises. Get ready for the new and divine way of holiness. This is really a glorious time to be alive. And the evil one, he knows his time is over. He's gonna fight and try to destroy everyone and everything, because that's who he is. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, a liar and a murderer from the beginning. What God is asking us is to go to him. How do we go to Jesus? As Catholics, we have Eucharistic adoration. As we can see God in the monstrance. We see God. He's veiled, but he's there. And we can spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Like he said to the apostles and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, can you stay awake with me for 1 hour? Can you be with me for 1 hour? And this is what he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to turn back to him so that he can be Lord of our life. He can put everything in order. And that's why he says, be attentive. He says, listen to my lessons, Jesus says. He says very clearly, in every instant, that you're reading, that you're studying, that you're putting this into practice, the sips of my divine will, the light of my divine will, that it may be accomplished in you, the greatest prodigies that I have planned from the beginning of time. The greatest prodigies is what God breathed, the Ruah of God, the breath of God into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. Adam lost it. Jesus comes of the new Adam, Mary comes of the new Eve. And after 2,000 years of the ABCs of the universal life, the Catholic life, he says, now the final battle is here, and I'm going to give you the weapons that nobody can conquer. The weapons that I'm going to give you are so powerful. And he says, this is not a war of blood. It's a war of love. God is going to conquer humanity with love. And what is that? He says, every word that Jesus, the word of God, spoke to Louisa, it makes sacred scripture come alive. It makes our dogma and doctrine come alive. It makes the catechism come alive. And because we are in a void at this point, so Jesus isn't going to be beat. He knows the situation we're in. The saints said, it's going to happen in mid 20th century. Everything's going to start falling apart. We've been there. We're now in the third millennium. John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. This is where we are. Read, be attentive, study, be attentive, put it into practice, be attentive. He says, that my divine will may have its divine life in your soul. Not only yours, but when you pray in the divine will, you pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This, this consumption, this burning of love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is coming to the earth. We haven't seen anything yet. We're close to it. Hang on to your hat. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but God's going to win. And we are with God. God is with us. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary. Through the intercession of Louisa, we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.